Okay, I believe we are live. Okay, so
Yes, we
here's a
are.
part where I introduce the show. Hello, this
Okay.
is Joseph Aleo, and you are listening to Mage the Podcast. And on today's show, we have special guest Adonis Galatis, the author of Life. It's a short story that appeared in the Truth Beyond Paradox anthology. Adonis, how are you today?
Hello, thank you for having me on the show. How are you today?
I have been awake for 15 minutes, so pretty good, I guess.
Thank you for having me on the show. This means much to me. Thank you so much.
Now, for the listeners, we've actually tried doing this Saturday, but there were some technical difficulties, and then we tried to do it Sunday. That didn't work either, so we're trying it today on a Tuesday. But before we begin, I am saying it right. It's Adonis, right? Because I
Yes,
thought it was Anthony.
it's excellently pronounced.
All right, so as we go forward, if you're listening to the show on Zcast, I'm saying this to the listeners, please feel free to be part of the interview and ask any questions you have of Adonis via text message. And so the question I ask every new guest who appears on Mage the Podcast is, first, how did you get into role-playing games? And two, how did that lead to Mage?
Thank you very much. So, the story begins right about 1992. It was June in my junior high years, actually the first class of junior high, and HeroQuest was out. The whole thing that we call role-playing games or any kind of heroic fantasy games of the time was really buried. So there was this clique in my high school that found out a game which no one else knew. When I asked around, I was shut out because I was an outsider. I wasn't, initiated. I wasn't initiated yet. And one thing led to another, and they invited me to my first D&D session, which was, magical at the time. I was 12 years old. Imagine that. I saw this multi-faced dice and the miniatures and the maps, and I was like, "What is this?" I grew up with Conan and I don't know, and Legend and Willow and all those things. And at some point, they give me this pre-made elf character, which he finds a very let's say, very funny end by a white dragon in a dungeon at his first 10 minutes of gaming. And when the character died, they told me that I couldn't play anymore because my character died, which of course sucked. And I went beyond the whole thing. I tried to find where they sell those things. So I ended up in the role-playing game store. And it was my first introduction to the whole thing. I went in there, 12 years old, closing on 13, and I saw this whole thing in front of my eyes, role-playing games and card games and miniatures and Warhammer and whatnot. And the first thing that came up to my mind was, I want one of those. I'm in the shop. I want this world. And so that's how I got into role-playing games at first. Now, later on, I was 14, 15 years old. It was 2 or 3 years after my first introduction to D&D and role-playing games, and a friend of mine brought up this book. He came with Vampire the Masquerade, and he told me that this is new, this is something different, this is adults only things. And I flipped through it, and it was so different. It was so, earthbound, the things that you see around you, issues that you have in everyday life. And I read through the basic book, the rule book, two more supplements, and the Book of Nod in, I don't know, 3 days or something. And I went to buy the book. There, a friend intercepted me and introduced me to Mage. He told me, "Don't buy Vampire. Check this out first." So he hands Mage first edition over. I was already into the World of Darkness. I've checked around what is it. And when I saw Mage, it was actually love at first sight, because I was always into magic. I was always into the whole concept of changing reality because you will it. And that just fit the bill. So I was a teenager, found mage, and through that I went to read a bunch of other things. Through mage, I went to philosophy, I went to religion, I went to politics or whatnot that had to do with the main thing that mage had to do, our world and what shapes it, people. So that's got me into mage, and that's how I started it.
So I'm curious, when I talk to people, they are either players or they are storytellers. I mean, they may do a little bit of both, but it's usually one or the other. So which are you,
Exactly.
a storyteller or a player?
I'm a storyteller. I'm an absolute storyteller. I've been a player so few times. The fact was that my first outing as a player did not work out well, as I told you. So I made my own group. I started on being the storyteller, being the DM, and that carried on because I seemed to, I don't know, had a knack for it. I could do it well enough. People liked it. I don't know.
So, as a storyteller, is it difficult to be in other people's games as a player?
Oh, absolutely not. I think that's a matter of character, nothing more. I mean, if you're a I don't know, if you're decent as a person and you know what it takes to make a good story run, and you respect the guy that does it or the girl that does it. If you're a storyteller and you're on the player's position, you're required to be the player and nothing more.
All right, so for my last question before we move into your short story, is in the United States in the 90s and in the 80s, which is when I started role-playing games, if you were playing Dungeons and Dragons, a Traveler, or something like that, you were regarded as a nerd, as a geek. That's changed, obviously, but when you started playing role-playing games, you might not have the same cultural associations with these sort of games. So how do people in Greece feel about role-playing games in the 90s?
You couldn't possibly understand what subject you just that was a total Pandora's box. Well, imagine the 90s, all right? When we're talking, gaming was not even a thing. Gaming was a thing for, I don't know, 25, 30 people in Piraeus and maybe 100 more in Athens. So that was the whole community at the time, and maybe I'm exaggerating the numbers. All male, mind you, and most of them metalheads. So you have this bunch of male people actually playing war games and card games or role-playing games, and at some point, where most of it was hidden from parents and stuff, because their images were in complete contrast with anything that the Greek, media or mindset had in, to go with it. So there were, those demons and horn things and monsters. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do.
So, so at some point, imagine a funny story of, well, if. A mother, my friend's mother saw the address of a book. It was Ravenloft, and the address was something church and the number, and she understood church end as the end of church. So you had, yeah, right. So things changed when World of Darkness came in, because at some point, girls went to the stores. It was a new thing. It was female players, because it touched aspects and things that they were, first of all, very attuned with, and second of all, it touched the goths scene of the time. So goths flocked to the World of Darkness, let's say, because of the aesthetic and the theme of it. Whereas before you had those Dungeons and Dragons, fantasy specific and sci-fi specific things, which did not have the same, let's say, the same, how can I put this? They were not geeks and dweebs in the sense that the Americans say it. It's We didn't have that. They were people who liked books and people who didn't like books. That was the whole thing. So role-playing games was also something to be pointed at because people didn't know what it is. And when they found out during the late 90s, early zeros, you had people of the church flocking to places where they sell those things, asking for the managers to take down their merchandise from the window store and stuff. So yeah,
All
I
right,
hope
I
that
can see.
covered it
I
a
think
bit.
it did. That is a very big dramatic change. That also happened in the United States, obviously, as well. And it's a good change. I'm glad that it's not relegated to geeks and as you said, metalheads.
Of course not. This changed everything. The whole scene is changed completely. There is no gap. There's no fighting. There's no, let's say, any social discrimination of so, everything is much more smooth nowadays.
Well, my own girlfriend, she plays Vampire with me, and I think if her introduction to role-playing games had been Dungeons and Dragons, I think she would have lost interest almost immediately. So I think that
Oh.
definitely had a big effect. All right, I'm going to switch gears. Let's talk about your short story life. And before we begin, we do have a couple listeners, and I want to say, listeners, if you have a question for Adonis, or if you just want to interject, you can send us a text message via the app or in the browser, and we will respond. So, before we get into the story itself, let me ask you, how long have you been writing?
Well, I started writing my own stories when I started actually role playing when I was 12, 13 years old. But I've never actually considered myself a writer. I wrote mostly poems, short stories, lyrics, and short, let's say, I wrote stories for my characters, but I never considered myself a writer. This is my first published work, but I have, let's say, various things here and there. I have created a huge world. I've created my own world of darkness in terms of I've placed the world of darkness in Greece. So for me to do that meant that I had to research much. I had to go and find what can tie the world of darkness to this specific space in geography we call Greece. I wanted to find the ancient roots and tie them to the present so as to work, and the facts that fit the fantasy. So I've written a lot since a very young age, but never in a way that I would be considered a writer. That was my first actual try to put something out there, and especially in English. Okay, you understand.
Well, I'm very impressed with the short story because it's very dense with plot information. But before we go forward, we should tell the listeners who might not have heard your narration of the short story, what is your short story about?
Well, it's a story about loss and acceptance of that loss. It's a story about a young woman who is gifted, she's awakened, and she lost her child in her womb and her mother on the same night, and she goes through her grief, and the whole story is based on the five stages of grief. It's how we cope when things abruptly, change and leave us. It was born out of my own life experiences and some things that I have in my head since I was, 16, 17 years old. What I can say is that this story is mainly about a young girl who found motherhood and accepted life in the most profound way a person can. And unfortunately, in my story, that stage was the loss in order to appreciate and understand the cycle of this thing.
Well, how do I put this? I think the only way you can understand death is when you go through it. Not dying yourself, but if someone you know or love
Exactly.
dies. So
Exactly. Well, I had more than one brush with death, and I'm talking about the loss of loved ones. And being a survivor of such a thing, without wanting to get into further details on the matter, changed my perspective tremendously. It's a very fine line to understand the eternity of life and what life has to offer, and the gift that is life through an ordeal that is losing what made you feel alive. And finding yourself again through that experience maybe was the cornerstone, is maybe the emotional cornerstone for the story. Though the story itself and the character and the place, which is Kithaeron, has been on my head for decades. It's a place of myth. It's a place you can go visit yourself. It's the forested mountain of Kithaeron. You can go walk there, and there are myths and legends concerning ancient kings and I don't know, satyrs and gods. It fit perfectly with the verbena of Greece and the story of Helena herself. But yeah, grief and the five stages of grief, which is, denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance, are themes of the story and how one can go through it.
So, given the nature of the story, was it difficult to write it? Was it painful or was it cathartic? Did it put you in another place when you were done writing the story?
It was definitely cathartic for more than one reason, and it was written within, okay, maybe 2 months or so under duress. I was working full time. I had a day job at the time, and I had to find time to go out of my routine as a male, working in a restaurant, to becoming Helena in the mountain of Kithaeron that has lost what made her tick. So this was a bit difficult, but thank God I had my dearest friend and now colleague in writing for Mage. We have the upcoming supplement we wrote together, Gods and Monsters, and Ataladi Evripidou has been both the carrot and the stick. She's been a writer more years than I am, and she took up the editing of the thing, and she helped me through the whole process, which I did have in my mind. I set it there, I wrote it down, and thank God it was so packed that I didn't have to cut out absolutely almost and nothing. So yeah, it came out within 2 months or so. Yes.
Well, as I said, it's really well written, and I really enjoyed it. And you said not much had to be edited out, but what did change in the story going through your
What
editing?
did change in the story for my editor? What the what had well Let's just say that every 5 sentences or so, every 10 sentences or so, it had to be checked again and again in order to find the best possible words to convey the feeling I wanted to convey, because I was sure of the feeling and the flow. I was sure of the story. I've been Helena, let's just say, at some point. So we were there together. When I wrote something which had, let's just say, 2 or 3 words more than it should in order to describe the whole thing, she would cut it out. This is enough. Okay, so stick with this and go with that. So she was really a good guiding force before sending it. I wrote just about 5 pages. I threw 3 out of the window, 2 again, and it came out within two months. Yeah, I broke down to tears at some point. I did. At some point, I cried. Okay, because it was too much. I had to go through this again, and not just that, but the years that I've spent with a character, which is Helena, and through my games, I've been a storyteller non-stop From, yeah, I was 13 years old storytelling. I'm 38 now, and I haven't stopped storytelling. At some point, I had a club, and I was storytelling for 5 to 6 days a week as professionally. And the character of Helena has been within the worlds that people have traveled within for many years, for decades. And she's gone now, by the way. She's gone from my world. She's succeeded. Another has taken her place. And so this is a testament of sorts, her footprint in, in the world of mage, that she's been there. She's been there for the past 30 years or so, 20 years or so, guiding the verbena of Greece to the old paradigm that the sisters of Demeter, the priesthood of Demeter, had laid the foundations in the Mount of Kithaeron.
So now that she's gone, what was it like reading this aloud, recording it for this podcast?
I have a very good friend, Panos Skedjos, who has a DIY studio, and I went there, asked his help, and we recorded there. It went rather well. It took, I don't know, it took just about 2 hours, 2.5 hours to record, and with all the editing. So it went rather smoothly, I guess.
That's amazing.
Well, thank you. I could do it. I have studied sound engineering, and I know the ins and outs of a recording quite well. And besides that, I had some theater in my background. I know how to pronounce some things or to talk. This interview is not a proper way to judge the way I speak because I'm nervous as hell. And I've never been good with communication that which I cannot see the face of the other person, but I'm doing my best.
You're doing very well. Now,
Thank
one of
you.
the things I really liked about your short story are the little descriptions, such as the color of the hound's eyes and teeth, and the sounds of the forest, and the sounds that the protagonist hears because she is a mother. Are those the sort of details that you include in your games that you've run as well?
This is a shout out to my brother in spirit, Phil Brucato, because when I picked up Mage, there is this piece of advice which I follow to this day, which is describe, 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 and use all possible senses. It's the best medium one can use to achieve immersion. You hear and see and smell and touch all the time, all at once, and that makes a living a thing. So if you can do that with words, if you can trick the brain into reproduce the colors or the feelings through the images that one can produce, then you've achieved your work. I do that through storytelling all the time.
Now, do I understand correctly that your short story includes incest?
Oh, of course not. Oh, of course not. You may refer to the brother and sister part. All the
Yes.
verbena in Kithaeron are brothers and sisters in terms of a brotherhood or a sisterhood, not by blood. It's her brother in spirit, or they believe the same thing. They practice the same religion and magic. That was not Game of Thrones at all. All right.
Well, I was just curious. I assume that's what you meant, but incest is actually something that's very common in mythology, so I thought I would address it.
Yeah. I understand. No problem at all. But it is a thing that, no matter how commonplace it might be in, let's say, Egyptian mythology, it's never been really forward with, or it's been a bit of a taboo in Hellenic mythology, brothers and sisters going together. Never, well, in terms of if they are children of gods or something, that this thing changes. But in terms of mortal affairs, it never turned out to be good. It never turned out to be okay.
Well, for people who aren't familiar with the aspect of mythology, Carl Jung and Joseph Campbell said that incest and names and myths are more about exploring the union of the masculine and feminine aspects of humanity, the national interest itself. But I'm just going to move on. One of the things I really enjoyed about your short story is that while it feels like it took place in the past, it also feels timeless, like it could have happened yesterday, in fact. Was that intentional?
That was intentional, and I'm so glad that you picked that out. I mean, I'm surprised. Thanks. Yes, that was absolutely intentional because the story takes part actually centuries ago. The story takes place in roughly First World War. No. I'm sorry. I'm terribly sorry. That was a mistake. It was 1810. I think the story takes place in 1810 or so, just at the turn of the century. But it's meant to be timeless. Yes, it's meant to resonate in every possible time in the history of Mage. The lesson is the same. So, yeah, that was intentional. I didn't. That's why I didn't say anything concerning the time or the date that all those things happen.
Now, you said this was actually your first short story. Have you written anything else since then, or is there anything you plan to publish that we could enjoy and read?
Well, this is my first published short story. I have some things in my you can read some of the things I have written in my Facebook account, where in my notes tab, just for my friends or people who are friends of mine. And after that, I've written other things. Among those are the entries for the Furies, the Erinyes, Talos, Pan, of course, and the Muses for the upcoming Book for Mage for the Gods and Monsters, which feature short stories in and of themselves, each entry. The story behind Talos and the story that wraps the myth around the Furies, the Erinyes. You will read it very soon when the book is published.
All right. Well, I'm very excited about that, and it couldn't be published soon enough. Now, the other thing, and I'm just heaping a bunch of praise on you, but I was really impressed with the recording of your short story. You said it took about 2 hours. Do you have any listeners who might also consider recording their show for this podcast or maybe another podcast?
Well, I would love to do something else. I have some people asking me after they heard it that, you should do this, and can you do mine? And considering that I do have close friends that are writers and that this can be possible, yeah, I wouldn't say no at all. Actually, I'm starting to think of it, to think of it seriously, to do this thing, to maybe tell stories, record stories for people to listen to. Besides, ebooks have become very popular especially during this decade. So why not? Yeah, sure. Stories are fine. Books are great.
I think you have an idea. The other thing that's very important is I've listened to other audiobooks read by professional readers, and it's usually dull and flat. So I was really impressed with the way you were able to tell the story. In fact, now that you've recorded your short story, do you have any other plans for it? I've suggested submitting it to Podcastle, but maybe you could sell it on Amazon or iTunes.
Well, first of all, the rights of the story actually belong to White Wolf. The rights of the story belong to World of Darkness. And it's okay, because I wanted it to be part of the World of Darkness. I wanted to stay with the family of this setting. I have other stories to tell. I have other stories to recite. And it's not going to be the last one. I'm in the middle of some discussions. It may be uploaded to Podcastle as well. I've emailed a couple of people, and when I have any news, I'll let people know. The fun part is that it got out in a medium that is not paper. People got to listen to it, and there were more than I expected, especially through the show, and I thank you very much for it. And soon enough, I think there's going to be more stories from with my voice in them, and I'll definitely let you know.
I certainly hope so, because it was a fantastic experience.
Thank you
Now,
so
Adan,
much.
if people would like to learn more about you, maybe read more of your short stories or anything else, where can they find you online? Where's the best place to go?
The best place to go is mostly either Facebook, which is it's Antonios the Raven Galatis, or they can go to my World of Darkness community, which I co-founded with Tasos Barbisis and Nikos Skoutelis and other people, which is the ICSG, the Inner Circle Storytelling Group, which is the actual beating heart of the World of Darkness in Greece. We have gathered the whole community under a single banner, and there are various things that are taking place there, from tabletop sessions to live action role playing, to meetings, to art, anything that has to do with the World of Darkness and mage and vampire and anything in between. So yeah, you can find me there as well.
Well, that's fantastic. And what I've observed is that it seems like Google Plus is the place for role players, but in particular for World of Darkness, it seems that it really lives on Facebook groups.
Yes, that's true, because it's the most it became the most popular medium for communication across platforms, so that's quite logical. What I'm gonna do in this short time, what I'm gonna do in the year that comes, is there's gonna be a short film coming out, a short film about Mage. Phil Brucato knows about this. I've sent him some photos. And we're filming in Greece. We're filming a short story based on Mage the Ascension. And it's going to be on the ICSG for sure. And I'll let you know when it comes out so you can, enjoy it as well.
Well, Donis, you're certainly welcome back on the show, whether to talk about another short story or any of your games or for this documentary. I'm really excited.
Thank you very much. Well, it's not a documentary. It's actually a short film, like taking a snapshot out of a mage in Greece, let's say, thing, and putting it on the screen. It's a flash through characters and places in Greece. It has outside. It has. Let's say we've been through forests and we've been through cities, and it's gonna be awesome. We wanted it to do it professionally, and it comes out awesome. You're
I
gonna see soon.
misunderstood. I'm very excited about this. All right, well, before we go, I want to tell the listeners to please join us again this Saturday. Lee Webb will be our guest, and he will talk about the perils of paradox. Every modern-day fantasy
Oh.
story has to confront the fundamental question: if magic is real, where has it been hiding all this time? And the answer to that question is mage. In mage is paradox. So you can find us online at magethepodcast.com. You can follow us on Twitter at magethepodcast, and subscribe to Mage the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, and it's now in the TuneIn app. And please leave a review on iTunes or Google Play. It helps people find the show. So for Adonis Glatis and the Mage the Podcast, I am Joseph Leo, and I will see you Saturday. Thanks for listening.